Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa, who wants to know, where would you like to be? Whether you're a super fan getting ready for game day or a food truck owner feeding hungry fans, Visa wants to help you pursue your passion with a simple and unwavering vision to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone everywhere. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise, and they want to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. That's why they're continuing to make innovations, from tapping to pay to pushing money directly to your debit card so you can get to where you would like to be. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
Kawhi's current team is playing Kawhi's former team. Lucky for the Claw, he gets his NBA championship ring. Lucky for the fans, they get to see Kawhi play again as he's well-rested coming off of Monday's load management game. Nobody happier than Drake, Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, can Kawhi have the same impact on the Clippers that he had with the Raptors, do you think?
Before I answer, just quickly, to Ketta, our boss, I am going to go to this game. I'll do the show remotely via Toronto tomorrow. Probably tough to get a flight back after the game tonight, but I'll go. It'll be fun. Get to say hi to your friend Kawhi.
Fox
I'll be
will
right
send
there.
You.
Yeah, just, and I'll do
and
the show
bring
from
you
Toronto.
Back.
Okay,
you're
so.
You're a big guy
listen,
here, Nick.
I'm very excited to see this game in person tonight, which I'd love to do.
Is he making fun of me or Fox?
Can he have the same impact on the Clippers if they win the title? That's the only way. The only way you can have the same impact for the Clippers, the Raptors, if he wins the title. There has been any...
This year. That's
well,
what you're saying.
Eventually.
Right.
Yeah,
oh,
I mean,
okay.
he wins okay. a title. Until he wins a title in Los Angeles, he will not have the impact he had in Toronto because Kawhi's legacy is a word thrown around too often, so very narrow. Kawhi's legacy in Toronto is based purely off of 6 weeks in the postseason. He was not some great regular season player for them. He was good. He was the best player on their team. He was himself.
He was one of the top players in the league, wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I mean, he was second team all NBA, second team all defense, played 3 out of 4 games throughout the season, and they were a 59-win team the year before he got there. They're on pace to, they won 58 last year, and they're on pace to win 58 this year. The difference was, Toronto was a team that couldn't get over the hump in the postseason. That was either because the hump was LeBron James or just the organization, whether it was Dwayne Casey's fault, he was the fall guy for it, or otherwise, couldn't do it. And Kawhi was sensational in the postseason last year from really the first game of the postseason, right, which they lost to Orlando. He made a huge shot in the corner late in that game. That shot right there, what they did against Giannis and the Bucks, and then, of course, in the NBA Finals. But this is Kawhi has put himself in, I would consider, a bit of an awkward position compared to last season, which was last year he handled being traded to a place he did not want to go to beautifully. He didn't allow
perfectly,
any noise.
Right.
He played. Nobody really gave him any flack for the load management because he was coming off a major injury. When he played excellent. And I don't think they would have, if he'd have missed that shot against the Sixers and they lose in overtime, I don't think people would have killed him for it. I think people would have said, hey, Kawhi did his job because you didn't have the championship expectations
right.
that you now have. Things are different now. He gets to go to the place he wants to go to. He helps orchestrate a trade where they remake the team around getting Paul George. He's missing time again, and they're trying to go head-to-head with the Lakers. So how can he do it? He's got to go win the title. And I know that's unfair, but I don't think it's unfair. I know that's a lofty goal, but that is, to me, the only way to match what he did in Toronto. To me, that's obvious.
No, I totally agree. And I mean, look, what he did in Toronto was just spectacular. I mean, that is one of the greatest runs in recent NBA history because you go to a team for 1 year, and I was saying from the beginning, he could win a championship there and still go to the Clippers. Because at that point, it looked like everybody was saying he's going to the Clippers. And that's, of course, what happened. So to make the most out of 1 year, that's why Toronto will give him a celebration, a coronation. There is no way there could be any ill feelings from the Raptors fans for Kawhi Leonard.
And he didn't mislead them.
No.
He didn't lead them on.
No. Nope.
Because he didn't allow any noise to come with.
One great year. And he hit the only game-winning Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history.
Yep.
So you got to give him credit for that. Now, to your point, he definitely has to win a championship with the Clippers. I mean, you could say he has to bat 1,000 with the Clippers, you know, win the title every year to equal what he did in Toronto, which he will not do. But he is fully capable of winning a championship. Now, you and I, we both picked the Lakers. I feel confident in that pick, but I also feel like the Clippers are capable of beating the Lakers.
And you
like,
think,
I think they have a chance.
Do you think they're their biggest competition?
Yes. I mean, Milwaukee is playing great, but the Clippers have two. I mean, some people might say Lou Williams has become a star.
Sure.
So two, maybe three stars. They got a championship coach. They've got great depth, chemistry. Everybody knows their role, and they're hungry. Milwaukee's got one star. I mean, I don't know if we're ready to start calling
Chris Middleton.
Middleton's
not a star. Right. Well, he's the star that Lou Williams is. So they
okay.
Superstars.
So let's say
superstar 2-1. No doubt about it.
Budenholzer's a good coach. Hasn't some people thought he had his struggles in the playoffs last year? Not Doc Rivers. So yeah, I think the Clippers are their toughest competition. Kawhi Leonard, look, I get it. He's shooting a career low from the field right now.
He hasn't been very good since Halloween.
But
since
when
Halloween.
You watch, I give you the numbers, but when you watch the game, his impact
plays.
On the game. Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I'm against the load management too. But when he plays, his impact is incredible. He's a mid-range assassin. He's so tough and physical defensively. You just hate playing against him.
So then I will ask you, does it matter if he wins the championship? Does it matter how he wins
no.
the championship?
No.
You
no,
don't
no.
care if he load manages his way right through a title, if he wins the title.
No. If he wins the title,
doesn't matter.
Then
how.
It's, I would argue, the ripple effects as far as the impact on other players and teams engaging in this level of load management is going to potentially be damaging for the league.
Agreed.
People think I got something against Kawhi. I cross
Just
my heart,
little,
I do not.
A little?
No. It is scary to me because of how much I love the NBA that if this level of load management infects the rest of the league, then they really do have to remake the season, remake the schedule. We have to look at so many different things that you and I were joking about off the air yesterday, like the top 75 after 75 years, these types of ways that one of the reasons NBA's popularity is NBA Twitter and the lists and the debates, and all of it changes if it starts being play 60 of 80.
I agree.
And so that's what I'm apprehensive about. Nobody ever thought I had anything against Kawhi Leonard until this season started and he started missing 1 out of 4 games when he said it's the best he's ever felt. He's missing a bigger percentage of games this year than he did last
right.
year. And the other thing that I pushed back on was the revision is, I know the playoffs matter more than the regular season, no doubt, but they can't be the only thing that matters. The revisionist history of Kawhi Leonard being the best player in the league, it's just a conversation that never existed in NBA circles anywhere until 2 weeks in May and June. Last year, who were discussed as the best players in basketball? LeBron, Durant, Giannis, Steph, Harden. How many people did we have to go down? I mean, in MVP voting, Dame and Jokic finished ahead of him last year.
But he was punished because of... And he's basically foregoing regular season accolades.
Yep.
Like, I had him on my third team All-NBA.
Because he didn't play enough.
Yeah, that was the only reason, but he didn't play enough. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that he's load managing like this. And what I've said, and I'll say it again, if you load manage like he is, you better win the championship. If they don't win the title, there will be backlash. If he comes back next year after going out in the second round or the Western Conference Finals and load management, there's going to be a lot of backlash.
In a different way, like if the Lakers get it to the NBA Finals, and now I know some people love throwing LeBron's finals record in his face, but set that part of his side. If LeBron and Anthony Davis both play 75, 78 games and they go to the NBA Finals and they lose a war to the Milwaukee Bucks, I think a lot of people, myself included, would say that is a hell of a season. That is a successful season. It might be a little disappointing, but a successful season because of what
they did.
They
lose to the Bucks
throughout the regular season. Yeah, because sometimes it's somebody's time. Maybe it's Giannis's time. The Clippers, it's first or last for them this year because of what the way they are positioning the regular season as preseason, which is what they're doing.
All right, let's let's move on. Talk some Patriots. They are under investigation for videotaping 8 minutes of the Bengals sideline during their game against the Browns on Sunday. And with Bill Belichick letting everyone know he has, quote, no involvement in this. A recent report says that severe sanctions are unlikely for the Patriots. Broussard, have all the allegations over the years, do you think, tarnished this Patriots dynasty?
Unfortunately, yes. Because I have great respect for what they've done over the last 20 years. I've said Bill Belichick is the GOAT. Tom Brady is the GOAT. But it's like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is the best baseball player I've ever seen. And he never was caught for PEDs. But there will always be a mental asterisk in our mind when we think about Barry Bonds. It's the same thing now with the Patriots. I'm sorry. Because it's not just Spygate, Deflategate, and Scoutgate, or whatever you want to call this. Do your job gate. It's also the first two Super Bowls. Remember, when they won the first Super Bowl, St. Louis said they taped our walkthrough. And they lost that by 3 points. When they won the second Super Bowl, Carolina, they were convinced that the players came back saying, it's like they're in our huddle in the first half. They had to change their whole game plan at halftime. They believe the Patriots taped them illegally, and they can't prove it, but they believe that as well. So there's always been a lot of smoke around this team as well. And look, we can debate and talk about, well, did they really get an advantage just by taping something? First of all, if there was no advantage, the league would make it wouldn't be illegal.
It would be okay for everyone.
Secondly, why are you doing it if there's no advantage? And thirdly, when you are talking about world-class athletes, all you gotta do is look at track and field. The difference between gold and finishing out of the medals is like 0.2 seconds. So when any little advantage with world-class athletes, regardless of the sport, makes a huge difference, and you look at their super, and I like the Patriots. I hate to have to say this, but this is a fact. When you look at their Super Bowls, all of them were close. The first three were by 3 points each. Mm-hmm. The last year was the biggest by 10. 6 points.
Atlanta's in an overtime game. And Seattle, it comes down to the interception at the goal line.
I hate to say it because, again, I have much respect for what they've done. But there always, it seems, will be that mental asterisk, at least for the near future, while this is still fresh in our minds.
You shouldn't hate to say it. And you shouldn't say, I'm sorry. They've done this to themselves. And the answer is yes, of course. This is part of the legacy. Because they have made it part of their legacy. They did not have to. If Spygate, which was as big of a scandal as the NFL really has seen in 20 years, if that was the only thing they ever got pinched for, then maybe, you know, time heals all wounds to a degree. But when you keep ripping the wound open every few years, you're reminded of it. And when, unlike baseball, so here's the thing. With the Astros scandal that we're in the midst of, there some of the mitigation has been a lot of people saying, well, everyone does this to varying degrees. There's been none of that defense with New England on any of these things. People don't make the allegation our communication, quarterback to coach, goes out at the most inopportune times when we're playing in Soldier Field. They say happens when we're at Gillette. People don't say it felt like they knew what we were doing unfairly against the Seattle Seahawks. They say it about the New England Patriots. There wasn't another team that went an absurd, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, 40 games fumbling the ball one time in the midst of a deflated football scandal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It happens with the New England Patriots. And Orlando Scandrick was on The Herd yesterday and talked about that there was beliefs the Patriots would send employees to go to hotels to see if they could find leftover playbooks and stuff. How about this? I defend them on that. I support them on that. You know what? If you can, within the rules, see, catch somebody slipping, right, catch them slipping. If you think Baltimore doesn't know that if you line up your left tackle here and your wide receiver here and your tight end here, someone else is eligible and you get a free touchdown, that's on you, Harbaugh. Get better. But we are all supposed to be playing by the same set of rules. And the argument that some people make is, well, they didn't need to do this. And I thought Mina Kimes made a great point yesterday. We all know a rich person that still literally clips coupons to save the $1.50. They don't have to, but they almost feel like they need to. At some point, this became part of how New England does business. It is, and when you have the same coach there for two decades, we talk about the infrastructure, the structural advantage they have by having the same infrastructure, by being able to pull on all this, these years and years of film and of experience. Part of the experience might be, hey son, now that you're my safeties coach, linger on the field as long as you can and see what you can see. And then if you get kicked off by McDermott before the Bills game, we'll deal with it. Hey, guys, and I don't know what happened with this Do Your Job documentary. I know that it's not just that there's smoke. There's a small fire. And the problem is this building got burnt down by arson 10 years ago. It got burnt down by arson 5 years ago. And now that same building's on fire again. Maybe someone left the eggs on too long. Or maybe it's the same damn thing. And so, to me, of course, it's part of the legacy. And it's not the biggest part, but it is a big part. What is there any allegation surrounding the Steelers of the 70s, the Niners of the 80s? Like, is there one that I don't know about? No, this is part of the Patriot way, it would appear.
And the worst thing would be, quickly, you said they didn't need to. The worst thing for the Patriots and the league was be if they really did need to. Because the league knows a lot more about this than we do. If they really did need to and wouldn't have won without it, that's even worse.
And folks saying, well, for the Bengals, why would they do it against the Bengals? Because that's a big Patriot fan defense. Quickly, I'll be very quick here. If that's your defense, then in your heart of hearts, you know they might do stuff like this. Because if I walk home tonight and I say to my wife, you killed somebody, and her answer is, who? Then it's like, whoa, hold on a second,
right.
As opposed to
him?
No. So if you're saying, if your defense is they wouldn't do it against the Bengals, you are implicitly saying, but the Ravens better watch themselves. That ain't right, man.
Back here, First Things First, now joined by former NFL head coach Eric Mangini. Good morning,
Good
coach.
Morning. Good to see you.
What's up, Coach?
All right, Coach, we're talking about the team you used to coach, the Cleveland Browns, and the rumor now gaining steam that Odell Beckham Jr., could be traded after this season. If OBJ had as many touchdowns as he did reports about his unhappiness in Cleveland, the Browns would be a good team this season. But OBJ has just two touchdowns, so the Browns are not in a good place, a long shot to make the playoffs. As usual, head coach Freddie Kitchens is not concerned.
Odell and my relationship is fine, you know. So Odell and Adam's relationship is fine. I don't think there's any gotcha moment here, okay? But I can only tell you what I think and what I've seen from Odell. And what I've seen from Odell is nothing like the reports indicate. So, sorry.
Coach, how does this relationship end?
Well, I asked when I came on set, which report are we talking about? Because there's so many reports that come out about Odell, it's hard to keep track of which report Freddie could be referencing. And typically when you get in an argument with someone, you say, well, okay, are we good? And they say, yeah, we're fine. That doesn't mean that you're really fine. That means that, yeah, things are okay. You probably have a working relationship. But what's Freddie supposed to say? There's nothing that he can say that's going to help him if he acknowledges that there may be conflict or there may be disagreements or he may have not been living up to the standard that they expected. He has nothing to gain from doing that. So he's got to get up on the podium every single week or every single day and say, yeah, things are good. We're moving in the right direction. He wants to be here. He believes in the system we have. He's fine with the trainers. Everything's good because you have no alternative when you stand up there besides to say that.
Odell's played every game this year, right? Correct?
I don't know. I mean, I don't see many highlights. I'm assuming
he Okay, does. Well, so he is having a less than productive season by his standards. Agreed.
Well, I mean, relationship the last few years is pretty on par with
Okay, well, I mean, yes. Yeah, okay, sure. So yeah. 2 years ago he was injured. He broke his leg. We can hold that against if we
last
want.
Year?
Last year he had 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. on a team whose quarterback is cooked, but we're not allowed to blame great quarterbacks on the show, only great wide receivers. So, but let, we can now do the wide receivers, formerly great quarterbacks, pardon me. So this year, you mentioned we don't see a lot of highlights. Have we seen these sideline blowups? Because when he was having all the highlights in the world, that was only part of the story because the sideline blowups were a big part of it. I haven't seen those. Has Odell said anything aside from for the first time last week when he was asked about his future and he seemed to openly ponder it? I don't know. I love it here. I love Jarvis. I'm happy. But no, tell me.
He had the watch incident. He had the shoe in. I mean, there were a couple things. He did not skate through the season without but a blemish.
Okay.
He had a few things where there are other players.
Has he had any fact other than?
I mean, he hasn't kicked a net. He hasn't kicked a net. You're right. He hasn't done that. He hasn't yelled at anybody lately.
All the things that we acted like were criminal cases, now we're acting like it doesn't matter. That's fine. So let me rephrase it. Other than fashion-related issues, has he been anything but a model citizen in Cleveland?
I don't know.
I
agree with you. He has not, I wouldn't use the word model citizen necessarily, but he hasn't had any issues on the sidelines. He hasn't blown up at coaches. He hasn't done interviews like he did with Lil Wayne, mm-hmm. implying that I won out, that my quarterback's no good. I'll give you all that. But to your point, yeah, Watchgate, Shoegate, Visorgate, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Sure, there's three things.
But overall, I agree. Attitudinally, he's been fine.
But when you have a standard of a great receiver, you're expecting more. And I guess when you set the bar low enough, as long as you're not overtly disruptive, that's a win. And if that's the bar that you want, that's the bar that you want. So as long as you're not completely and utterly disruptive on the sideline, then it's all good.
No, but you hold on. But you are. But you, what you guys are doing is setting a bar here for a team whose quarterback's ranked 33rd in the league in passer rating and saying you didn't clear it. The shoes, the Browns packed the wrong uniforms and he and a teammate were wearing shoes that were not cleared with those uniforms.
Okay.
The visor, it is the responsibility of the officials before the game to tell you if you're in or out of protocol. They didn't. He then switched it. You guys want to flame him on the watch? Fine. The watch to me is such a non-issue. But we are, Coach, you said it, and you know how much I truly love you. But you said there are, I sincerely.
You know how much I love you. However, I'm going to say something insulting.
Well, because you said there's so many stories surrounding Odell. No, there aren't. This year, there have not been. He has been on his best behavior.
But he's in the news a lot. There are stories about him.
Because he's interesting.
But
we find him fascinating. Because he...
Didn't he have a blow-up? Didn't he have an issue on the sideline after one game where he said, or he's yelling, I can't get the ball to save my life, and there's a potential two-minute drive, and he's way over on the other side.
Hold on.
And now, in the grand scheme of Odell blow-ups, it's not that bad.
No.
It's better.
And Odell being caught on a hot mic saying to himself, I can't get the ball.
But you wouldn't hear a guy like Julio Jones say that.
You'd never hear Tom Brady yell at his receiver saying, you got to get open. And if you did, it's leadership. We all know that's leadership. That's good. And Jason Witten, who everyone loves.
We're talking about a guy with 19 years of consistent track record.
What about Witten when he is screaming for a team? Let me look at the standings real quick. Oh, with the same record, just as underachieving. That's leadership when it's Witten, of course. Because we change the rules for guys depending on how we feel about
them. There's a little to that, Nick. But come, we can't act like Odell hasn't brought a lot of this on himself. The Watchgate, here's my issue with it. You said that's a small thing or whatever. That shows me your mentality. When you want to wear a watch, $200,000, then what, $2 million watch during the game, that tells me you're too concerned, too focused on being cute and impressing the homeboys or whatever. You should be focused on the game. It's things like that. It's not just a watch. It's what does that say about your focus for the game?
And all last segment, you were rushing to judgment on the Patriots based off their track record, but now we're not supposed to rush to judgment on someone based off their track record. I don't see how that dichotomy can exist.
Because I think this year he has gone out of his way to try to change his reputation by not having those incidents, and now we're saying that doesn't matter.
But do you think everybody's making up the fact that he's saying, come get me, or I want out of Cleveland. Like, do you think that volume of reports is just made up? People just want to get after Odell.
No. I believe them.
Okay, if winning is everything, it's really about winning, and we all agree that Odell is one of the more talented receivers, if not one of the top five most talented receivers in the league. You've coached two teams now. Knowing what you know, would you want a guy like Odell on your team?
Look, I had a totally different philosophy on players, and maybe it was too strict from a character perspective because I wanted a certain type of guy. And I really believe when you have high character guys, then average becomes good, good becomes great, and great becomes a Hall of Famer. So I wanted a very particular type of guy. Do I want a player that's going to be consistently creating distractions? No, that's not the space that I'm in. That's not what I learned. That's not what I believe in philosophically. So I would probably shy away from that situation.
What I would say lastly in defense of Odell, I would like to hear once, he's now been on two teams, a teammate go on the record and say he's a bad guy in the locker room. We don't like him. He was a part of the problem. Haven't heard it. I would like to hear, aside from Tom Coughlin, a coach seem not to like Odell. Shurmur was putting his arm around him as much as he could. Gettleman traded him away after saying he wasn't going to. I agree with you, actually, Coach. I don't think you were too strict. I truly don't. And I think, in general, your philosophy is a correct one. But I also think there is a difference between flamboyant and character issue. And as far as do I think they were making it up? No, I think Odell probably is considering what it would be like outside of Cleveland. And I don't have a problem with it because I'm certain Cleveland is considering what it would be like without Odell. To me, that's always been a one-way street. Teams can cut, teams can trade, it's business. Players hold out or demand a trade. They're being selfish. I think that street should go both ways. And I think in the modern era, it's starting to go both ways. It doesn't bother me.
When you start getting your second and third team, it soon becomes not me, it's you. It's you. There's a reason that the Giants signed him to that big extension and then decided at the end of the day, after a year with him, to move on from it. And now he's in another place, which all Cleveland wants is for this to work out great. They want him to be successful. They'd love a big star like that in Cleveland that's helped leading him to the playoffs. That's a fantastic situation for him, and they're doing everything they can to make it work. So if it fails, it's not going to be for lack of organizational support of this decision.
Broussard, do you want to play a little take your pick?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I do.
Kawhi Leonard makes his return to Toronto tonight to receive his ring, but it is Paul George's play as of late that has the Clippers looking like title contenders. Which player is more important for the Clippers if they want to keep pace with the Lakers? Is it Kawhi or is it PG-13? Broussard, take your pick.
I can tell this is a Nick question.
No, it's not. I don't come up with the
question. I guarantee you're going to say Paul George.
Even though he's not your best player. Because you're right, it is Paul George. To keep pace with the Lakers.
Okay, because for the regular season.
That's what the question is. Keep pace with the Lakers. He's going to be there. He's going to be playing. Kawhi's played 17 games this year. Paul's played 13. Paul had double shoulder surgery and missed a month, and he's going to pass him in games played.
That's an unbelievable stat.
By the way, since Paul George came back, he's been better. Like, we can agree on that, right?
Since Kawhi has been slumping for whatever reason. I'll give you that.
Yeah, so Paul George.
But if you – regular season, yes. But they're not going to keep pace with the Lakers in the regular season. So, and you know, it really is all about the playoffs. So I'm looking at it as their best chance to beat the Lakers in the playoffs. And I don't think they will, but the best chance, Kawhi Leonard. Period. And even though his numbers are down, when you watch the game, his impact is – very high.
His impact on the defensive end is not what it once was because he's not being asked to guard the opposing team's best player as much.
He's the type of guy you hate to guard you, though, because he's so strong and tough.
Especially
and
if you're
sturdy.
P.J. Tucker and he's standing in the corner guarding you.
We mentioned the Lakers. The duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis has worked early and it has worked often, and the two are now both being thrown into early season MVP conversation. So which Lakers star is more likely to win MVP, LeBron or AD? Broussard, take your pick.
Gotta be LeBron. Look, Anthony Davis is having a tremendous year. But Anthony, I'm tired of the narrative that Anthony Davis is actually the Lakers' best player. And I'm not saying everybody's saying it, but I'm hearing it more than I'd like to, because he's not. Anthony Davis is a number two guy. We saw him for 7 years as a number one. He's a number two, and he's a great one. And there's nothing wrong with being a number
two.
Yeah, he's the number one talent. But his personality, demeanor, all that, he's a number two. So he's a perfect fit with LeBron. LeBron is clearly the engine that makes them go. And LeBron has the narrative, too. Everybody thought he was the washed king. Yeah. And, you know, he played a different position. Now he's the best point guard in the league all of a sudden. So I got LeBron with a better chance.
And I think Anthony Davis, as early as next season, can be the number one that you're talking about. I think he needs to go through the cauldron of a deep playoff run to get that experience, okay, to maybe come in with a slightly sharpened game-to-game mentality. But the answer is LeBron. For the last 2 weeks, Anthony Davis has been the best guy on the team, I believe. The last 2 weeks, he's played better than LeBron. But over the course of the season, it's been LeBron. And credit to the Lakers blog, Silver Screen and Roll. They had a great article up this week. People should check it out, explaining how so much of the Lakers' offensive success is being predicated on LeBron seeing, essentially being able to skip the skip pass, like seeing the extra pass and being able to make it one pass early, right, and getting guys open. And a lot of Anthony's success, Caruso's success, the shooter's success has been because of LeBron. And while AD's been the defensive player of the year up to this point, LeBron's been an outstanding defender as well, just not up to that level. So I agree with you. It's also LeBron.
All right, the Lakers' 21-3 record this year is tops in the West, but Giannis has his Bucks with the same record out East. Both teams eyeing the Warriors' win record. So which team is more likely to break Golden State's 73-win record, the Lakers or the Bucks? Nick, take your pick.
To be clear, I would be shocked if either team breaks it. I'd be shocked if anyone breaks it. 74-8 is damn near impossible. 73-9 should have been impossible. But the answer is the Bucks. I do think the Bucks can get to 70, become the third 70-win team ever. It's easy. They're going to have a slightly easier schedule out East. Giannis is going to play 82 games, and on a night in, night out basis in the regular season, Giannis is the most dominating force in the league, and I think that's actually by a decent margin at the moment. So I say the Milwaukee Bucks.
Look, I don't think either team's going to get it. I'm sure you agree with that. But I would say the Lakers. And look, and they're not going to say it, and they shouldn't say it. You don't want to put that target on your back. And I'm not even saying that they're talking about it privately. But I wouldn't be surprised if way in the back recesses of LeBron's mind, he would love to get that regular season record, because it's just another notch on your belt. It's another way you top Michael Jordan. And I think LeBron also has the audacity, as he should, to believe, I could win 74. And I'm not saying this is a goal of his. I'm just saying I could win 74 and win the championship. You know, Jordan did it with 72 and the championship. The Warriors were just an aberration to go 73 and lose. The Sixers won 69 before, mm-hmm, and won the championship with Wilt Chamberlain. So I would say the Lakers, because I don't know that I see them going to load management until, you know, the last 2 weeks that has
if
historically
they have the one
been
seed.
Right, they'll sit LeBron and sit AD, but I would give them a better shot, although I don't think either team gets it.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.